James chapter 5. Let me set the tone. I read an article about reversing disease, finding the root causes of it and dealing with the cause of it rather than the effects of it. And I'm going to refer to that in a couple moments. But in the process, I was already planning on speaking on the book of James chapter 13 to verse 18. So turn with me if you would, and let's read it together. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing praise. If any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. In this study by Dr. Ornish, it was called the Program for Reversing Heart Disease. What I'm suggesting is that the church is supposed to be a healing center by its very nature, that we bring wholeness and healing into people's lives wherever and whenever we can. In other words, it's a place to get healed of so many things, not just physical ailments, which we'll leave to the medical establishment, but to the areas where God has entrusted us with love and care and forgiveness and cleansing and restoration and wholeness and wellness. And I'm suspecting that God planned it all, that the church would be the center of that, that it would be one of the first places you stop over in your moving towards wholeness. You'd stop and be part of the church and experience the healing and wholeness that comes from that. So, what it was about, this article, it was a study of the underlying causes of what makes us sick. That's interesting in itself. And what makes us well. It had to do with lifestyle choices and the root causes of illness. We kind of think, well, we're just ill. Well, maybe not. Maybe there's more to it than that. So here's what they came up with. Five things that actually affect people and how well they are. Number one, it's not in your notes. This is how fresh it was. It wasn't time to put it in the notes. Number one, the study said, but what we eat. Right? What we eat. You can't fill your system with junk and expect to be well. Just doesn't work that way, right? We know that. We all know that. But number one, what we eat. Number two, how we respond to stress. To get rid of as much of stress out of your life as you can is important because the stress will do you in. That's the second thing. Number three, whether or not we smoke. You'd kind of think by now that we would have got a hold of this, because back in the 60s, we knew that people were dying from smoking, but we kept on advertising and selling advertisements. And so many, you know what I find now, it's not guys my age, they're kind of, because they're those who are smoking are already dead. That's not who it is. It's the girl sitting over in McDonald's. It's the young people that are lighting up. And you say, I can't believe you're so beautiful and so nice. This is a wholesome-looking person who's dragging away in a cigarette, and you're 16 years of age. We made those mistakes back in the 60s. Why are they repeating it again? But I digress. So what we eat, how we respond to stress, number three, whether or not we smoke. That's, by the way, that was a big part of it. And Number four, how much we exercise. I mean, really exercise, where you make it part and parcel of your life. And then lastly, and this is the part that I'm going to draw into my original message, how much love, intimacy, and social support we have in our lives. Wow. You wouldn't think they'd include that with the other four, but they do. It's absolutely crucial. And whenever people began to do walking, when they began to change their eating habits, when they began to get rid of stress as much as they could, learn to relax, unwind, take time. And when they put all that together, they found that, for example, 90% of diabetes was reversed in some cases. Because this was the nature of the thing, that it not only did it help cure you, but it reversed disease. So in other words, it was never too late to start, never too late to be healthy. So I thought, that's amazing that strokes and cancer and heart attacks, you mean there's it's not just surgery? No, this way was without surgery. This was people that had submitted themselves to this regimen, and it was life-changing. So I thought, in the light of that, of the value of praying for each other, and thus fulfill one of these five means of reversing health problems. And in other words, we say, Lord, by your grace, I want to be whole and healthy in my thinking, in my acting, and I want to be part of a community of people where we hang out together and we share together our lives. And that when somebody is sick, we pray for them. When somebody is overstressed, we pray for them. That's our job, right? It's not your doctor's job. That's our job here as a church, as people. So I was thinking of James chapter 5, of the power of healing prayer. How many times since, Carolyn, 1990, when did you get, Carolyn, when did you get baptized? 1991? She just told us this morning that she saw this, 1991, that's 1891, wasn't it? Yeah, thank you very much, yeah. But she's got one of the original pictures, not many of you have seen this, of our baptism tank. And it's in the basement, right? It's in the basement. And we were all gathered around. It was kind of a cheesy looking thing, actually. It was kind of just a wooden box in the middle of the floor. And the kids are all the way around pulling on it. And we're baptizing people, and they have to climb into it and climb out to it. My point is this. I wonder how many people were touched or healed over that since 1991 to here. I mean, they came forward for prayer. They had a bad report. They were really ill, and it didn't look good. And they made their way to the front or to a small group, and they received prayer. And of course, we don't come back and tell the stories, right? We don't go back and say, you know, that person, they were really serious. That doctor said, we're really worried about you. This may not go well for you. And it did, because they're still here. That what the Lord had done, not through the evangelist flashing through, but the local body being a healing center and understanding that. So I'm thinking that there are three kinds of praying, according to James 5. The first is a prayer for yourself. A prayer for yourself. Any sick among you? Yeah, any sick among you? What is he supposed to do? Let him pray. Mary said, the first thing you need to do is to pray. Have you prayed about that stress? Have you prayed about that anxiety? Have you prayed about that decision that has to be made? Have you prayed about it? It's amazing how many people haven't prayed about it. You know, they've come for prayer, which we welcome, but they haven't prayed about it themselves. They haven't got down before the Lord and said, Lord, I'm really worried about this. Or I've got this report. I have to see the doctor. Oh, there's this or there's that or the situation. Or there's some conflict. Or there's worried about a teenage son or daughter. So all of these things, it's the first level is that we encourage people to pray. Because that's how God begins to work. And God can begin to direct. Let him pray. And I'm thinking of all kinds of things. It can be about finances. It can be about decisions that happen. It can be about discouragement. It's a many people didn't, probably won't, not many, but there will be a number that don't come to church this morning because they're discouraged. Right? They just couldn't face everybody again, put a happy face on. And so they just go about being discouraged, and they miss the benefit of a great worship team here this morning of young people praising the Lord and lifting our hearts in praise, right? That's wouldn't it be nice if they'd come to your house in the morning? Each morning, you know, you get out of bed, you can hear them in the kitchen, right? Just singing and playing. How good would that be? Talk to them about it if you would. So of all of those things, we teach people how to pray. That should be the first thing that's on our hearts, is they say, I would be, you know, I said, Lord, I bring this to you. That's the first level, put it that way. But there's a second level. And I'll read it again. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, I'm not sure here. It could be that they can't make it themselves. They can't get to the church. They can't get to the place where prayers are going to be offered. So they call. It's like the doctor, right? It's like a number of things. Somebody will go and pray for you, whether it's the hospital or whether it's someplace else. But I'm assuming that the reason they called is because they couldn't get to a place of where there was someone to heal. Now in that, notice it, and call for the elders of the church, anointing him with oil. And you know that the oil is not, there's nothing in and of itself. It's not helpful that way. You can get it anywhere. I think the one that we are using right now, it's made of frankincense and myrrh. You can probably buy gallons of it in the Holy Land when you're there. There's an idea, marketing that. But there is something effectual about it, that as this is consecrated to the Lord as a point of contact. You're not covering them with oil, and it's because there's oil on them. It's just a symbol, I understand it. I shouldn't say just, but it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and verse 28, it shed some interesting light on that. Maybe I'll just tell you about it. It isn't gift of healing. It's gifts, plural. Gifts. So there's not just one person that's going to come in that door and says, I have the gift. The healer is here. And now I will heal people. No, it doesn't. That's not the nature. There are gifts. There's plurality here. There's more than one. There's many, perhaps several. There's several that are operating. So in both chapter 12 and verse 9 of 1 Corinthians and chapter 12, verse 28, again it says gifts. I wonder if could it not be, and I'm just throwing this out to you, is that there could be somebody who God, for some reason, seems to be helpful in praying for people with heart conditions. Could be somebody else has back problems. It could be somebody else has something to do with eyesight or something. I don't know. It's just that it's the gifts are given by God. They're not earned. It's not a matter how well you live your life. They're just given to the body of Jesus. And I think, and myself included, I don't think we have come near to depending on what the Spirit could do, right? To invite the Spirit of God to come and to bring healing. It's quite encouraging. Now, look at when you think about what could happen out of that, would be really, really good. But it's multiple. And I thank the Lord for that. It gives us encouragement. Now, if you'll turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians is really talking about the law and getting free from the law and from these people, people that were taking the freedom of Christ away from so many of the believers. But Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5, he reveals something just in the process. He said, did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you, oh, who's that? That's Jesus. He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. He works, yes. Jesus comes into our midst to work miracles among us. Miracles that we can't take credit for. we stand in awe because maybe we were kneeling around this person. Maybe we were laying on the floor interceding. We don't know. Maybe we were just touching them. I don't know all those possibilities. But he says, it works miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing by faith? And that's what the argument's about. But in so, he reveals to us that Jesus works miracles among us. I don't think we're anticipating them or expecting them. And I stand in need of a correction because of that. As I say, oh, Lord, you want to come in your miraculous power. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody will be healed necessarily. There's lots of factors in this, right? But it does give us encouragement that in the scriptures it reveals that the church is a healing place where miraculous things could happen. And you'd be one of the first stopovers on your road to wholeness and your road to wellness is that you'd be part of something of the church, because I know this, it'll be a powerful experience to the whole church if somebody says, you know, when they laid hands on me, I knew something had happened. And we'd go crazy, wouldn't we? Oh, I so want to thank you, Lord, thank you for this. So what are we to make of that? Well, these gifts that are given to us, we need to encourage it. The elders here is talking about are obviously people that there's some maturity to them. See, he said, any afflicted, any suffering, you pray. Any sick, bring I don't think it has to have to be leadership, but they're people of maturity that God will use use probably with great results. And the result of that, going back to James chapter 5, is that the Lord, you take oil, says you anoint them with oil, and then you pray the prayer of faith. And the prayer, the prayer that's given in faith, he said, you do that and the Lord will raise him up. Huh. Wow, the Lord will raise him up. That's what we look for, right? That somehow, now, the reason I say raise him up, because it seems that he could be, you have to call for the elders, so maybe they can't get there, they're invalid, they're ill, they're just too sick to come. So this team comes, this team from the church comes, who are recognized as people with sincere hearts and sincere motives and are open to the miraculous. I don't want somebody coming over and praying for me that does no faith. Say, well, I'm not so sure about this stuff, but give her a go. That's not really going to help you. But here's the other point of it, is that the Lord will raise him up. Up from what? From that bed, right? From that where he's going this way, now it's going this way, it's reversed. Now the reports are getting better. Now the blood count is better. Now this is happening. Now that's happening. We say, isn't that interesting? And the Lord will raise him up off that bed of affliction, up off that bed of illness, where he's so sick and so ill, and the church bands together, and things happen, and God raises him up. Wow. To give testimony, right? I think, again, even thinking this morning, we probably don't come back and tell. Lots of times we've prayed for people, and God has reverse that process of their charts, the way we're looking, it's really down, and now they're better. I mean, they're functioning. But I don't know if we came back and said, oh, by the way, we forgot to tell the rest of the church that happened. And we need to encourage each other. So number one, prayer, that you would be a person of prayer, and every time there's a challenge in your life, is that you'd pray about it. Any afflicted, pray. Number two, elders come, and they would pray. Again, another level. And by the way, on this, sometimes people are mad because nobody from the church came over to pray for them, and the pastor didn't come over especially to pray for me. And I'll say, did you call for the elders? What? Did you call for the elders? No. Was I supposed to know by osmosis? Was I supposed to get a middle of the night? God wakes me up and says, go over to so-and-so's place, they're not well. I said, it's not my responsibility, it's your responsibility. You call for the elders. You call for the elders. You call for the pastoral staff. That's the process. And then we can yield ourselves and be a part of that that process. But amazing people, you know, when they just were, you must have heard about my illness. Well, we heard about it, but we didn't know. You didn't call us, but we'll come if you call us. There, again, here is just more of that passage from James 5. In our small groups, in our life groups, in any time of gathering where we come together, I think it really behooves us to learn the value of using the prayers of others. Locking our shields together. Is there anything more powerful than even the image of it? Picture the group you're in right now. And we find out that so-and-so is there. He said, you know, I haven't been feeling very well, and I got to go see the doctor. I hope it's not, I don't know what it is. And we say, right? We're touched by this. And so what do? We do what we're supposed to do. We pray one for another. That's what he said, pray for one another. Say, isn't it kind of, shouldn't we leave it with the professionals? No, apparently not. Amateurs, all of it, really, really amateurs. Just ordinary people who God may just use. So what we do is we say, would you like us to pray with you? Who wouldn't take that up, right? Who wouldn't say, would you pray for me? You go to the meeting discouraged and wondering if you should even go. And here it is. Now picture, as a group of people are maybe perhaps kneeling, and they're kneeling around the individual. And as we ask, say, you know, and we say, let's just invoke the Holy Spirit. Let's just invite him to come. So we say, oh, Holy Spirit, come now. Jesus, come with your presence, your power, your might, your glory. Jesus, come. And then we see a tear. There's a tear running down their cheek because you've touched their fear. You've touched their worry. Right? And then you look around and there's tears on the around the eyes of others that are, you know, part of the small group. And they're beginning to pray because they're concerned too. And I thought, there's no sweeter picture this side of heaven than a group of caring believers in Jesus who gather around you and extend their hands and extend their faith and extend their hearts, and they pray and they say, Jesus, we remind you this is your child. Jesus, this is one that needs your touch here today. Lord, heal her, touch her. Let there be a good report. Let there something wonderful happen out of this. Encourage them and strengthen them that they would not be cast down, but that they would be buoyant in their faith and feel victorious in their heart. Listen, where do you get this kind of stuff? I think you only get it one place in the world, and that is a church. And think of all of the branch offices we have. You know, you say, well, I've been going to be in Victoria for a while. I've got to take some time. Oh, let me phone a couple of our brothers and sisters over in Victoria who would be glad to pray with you, right? Well, I'm in Europe. Oh, no problem. We'll make a connection with if we need to for a church. See, there are thousands and thousands of branch offices of people who know something of the power of prayer and that would want to pray for you. And we've done that. How many times have we said, there's somebody here who's been in a car accident and we've been to get pray right there, right? We've prayed right on the spot so many times because they needed to. So it's not just a matter of tacking it on the end of the meeting. It's a vital part. Does anybody need any prayer here tonight? That type of a thing. Somebody says, I have a need. What? I just got the divorce papers. Oh. You know, we just feel we're touched by that. And what do? We lock our shields together. All the way around. And there's that person feeling so vulnerable and feeling so abandoned and feeling so discouraged and feeling so alone, but they can feel something they haven't felt maybe ever. And that is the power of people, of praying. This is why the writers pray for one another. Don't be guilty of not doing that. Pray for one another. And sometimes it's funny how people always say, would you like us to pray with you about that? No, I'm okay. It's usually men. No, I'm good. You got a bone sticking outside of your leg. It's just, no, it's fine. I'm sure it'll go away soon. Women, on the other hand, are much more tender. They're much more, yes, I've got this problem. They tell you all the problems. Right? Men don't tell any problems, and women tell you all their problems. So there you have it. But we're locking our shields together and inviting the Holy Spirit to invade this moment and to come and minister deeply in the life of another, right? In the life of another. We must make this a part of our small. There needs to be a supernatural moment, right? It's not just a tack on the end, but we're believing that this is part of our mandate, and that God may well there could be a gift of healing that's operating and functioning in that meeting. It could very easily be. It could be just that a prophetic word comes. How many know there's been a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge? They just couldn't believe it. How we prayed for wisdom and then God begins to show us things. Well, all of that of this in our life groups, in our home groups, that's where one of the best places. But also here. I don't know how many times, probably 3 out of 4 Sundays, as we're ending the service and we're just kind of heading out for the coffee, there's people praying over here, but there's people praying over here and up there because I see them. I think what happened, they made connections, say, hey, how's that going? Oh, not, why don't we just pray? Right? And so it's not official. It's just, I know somebody said, is it okay if I went and prayed for so-and-so? Because I said, no, I don't want you anywhere near them. Get an amateur loose. What's going to happen? Sure, I would like you to. You don't need permission. You don't need permission to be led by the Spirit because you saw so-and-so there and you know they're going through a very serious time. And if you have a good relationship with them and say, would you mind if I pray? I've been thinking about you all week. And there's that body functioning again and again and again. Supernaturally, could well be many, many times, especially as we are by faith believing the Lord. Now, James chapter 5. Go back to that if you would with me. James chapter 5, out of that story about laying on hands, it says, the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, I don't think we should be ashamed and say, shouldn't judge me. I think we should assume, at least it's a starting point, that there may be something in my life that's opened the door. Right? I don't think we say, oh, are you judging me? No. We're just saying all of us are sinners saved by grace. We're wondering what effect, for example, that unforgiveness has been, that bitterness. Just wonder if all of your anxiety and refusal to read the word and little prayer, and we were just wondering if maybe that you'd like to, or maybe it's this generation, you know, we're just trying to get a feel for it. And because he says here, this is the setting. They pray the prayer of faith and will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Now, in the light of these, therefore, confess your sins to one another. Let's not be so proud that we won't allow anybody to say anything in case we feel they're judging us. We're not judging. They're just doing what James chapter 5 said, but we should beat them to it. We say, there's some things I need to get right, and we get them right. And that you see, pray for one another. And what's the next phrase? That you'd be healed. That you'd be healed. That you and I would be healed. So it may be other factors. Maybe that's the first factor I look at. Is there anything within me that maybe I have just, you know, opened the door? And you find out that it's not that, well, then that's fine. Then we go on to other issues. And sometimes there might even be on to demonic issues, where there's been some bondages or some things like that. So all we're saying is, listen, this is how it works. If we don't confess our sins, I think it limits healing. I think it limits it. And we don't want to limit anything. We want it to be wide open and God just moving. Now, in the light of that, he doesn't even pause. That you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. No, he didn't say a little power. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. As it is working. And then he launches into the story of Elijah. You can hardly believe it. Elijah, what? Where'd this switch over? He's trying to give an example of somebody who was naturally supernatural. Elijah was a man with a nature just like yours, just like mine. He's reminding us, this is not some Superman. This is not some, you know, above everybody else. He's a man with a nature like ours, and he prays fervently, as we must, for each other, that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. End of story. What is he saying? Every one of us, if the prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working. Do you believe that? Do you honestly believe that? Do I honestly believe that? I do. I think we're all amateurs in that sense. Just ordinary people with a nature just like Elijah. So we've got this. This is the kind of the fun of it. There's a natural, supernatural, always operating. Was it very supernatural kneeling down together? No, not particularly. Was there any, you know, the fact that we prayed for somebody and laid hands on, anointed them with oil, was that? No, it was pretty natural, pretty just ordinary people. But out of that comes a healing. Out of that comes a freedom. Out of that comes a wholeness or a wellness. And we can say, it was God, but yet it was us. It was kind of us, but yet it was God. It's just always, like Elijah, he was an ordinary man, but because he could pray fervently, he said, rain was stopped and started just because of this. It's an amazing thing. So what is we saying? We need to pray fervently. So it can't be just a casual prayer. When we're praying for one another, it's really the king's business we're about, right? We pray fervently. Our prayers alone, fervently. Our prayers with the elders, their prayers, fervently. Our prayers for one another, fervently. Right? That's it. So it's not just a little thing that we do, as evangelicals do. It's our calling. And to see the church a little differently, to see it as a healing center. Do they go to the doctor? Yeah, hey, we don't tell people to stop their medicine. We don't tell people not to listen to the advice of their doctor. They need to listen to their doctor. But we offer something that no place else in the whole world can. We are a church. And we have small groups. We're already set up. There's encouragement places and places for hope and places for prayer. It's amazing. It's really quite amazing. And because at any given, so when people come, you know, even I, if you had a neighbor that was ill and yet they were able to come, say, would you like to come to church with me? And I'll get a few of our friends just to pray with you. Wouldn't that be something? Sure, I'll come along. They come along and God ministers to them. And it's all pretty wonderful. Turn with me if you would. I'm not going to look at all the verses here, but Psalm 41. But by the way, when you do see the church as a healing center, of salvation, right, of personal problems, or maybe a lifetime of negativity in their life, and they've never, you know, they've just been crashing through life, and they end up at a church, and that process begins of Christ-likeness and change. But there's an immediate part of it where there's healing. And I'm just going to read Psalm 41, verse 3. I'll break in at verse 2. And the Lord protects him and keeps him alive. For he is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. Here it is. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. Our prayers are part of that. The doctor, yeah. Medicine, yeah. Where it's needed. But our prayers. Because we know that the Lord can sustain him. Say, well, they've got this. Yes, we know that. But the Lord can sustain him on his sickbed, in his illness. You restore him to full health. Now, I don't, you don't. We haven't got any ability that way. Right? As Brother Pritchard used to say about the Holy Spirit, he says, people with empty hands put their hands upon people with empty heads, and they get empty experiences. Well, thank you, Brother Pritchard. He's probably right. And there's lots of people that will pray for you that you don't know, and we have reason to say, I don't know that person, and you know, I think we should maybe know something about them. But to be part of a body like this, you are the kind of people that I want to hang out with. And I want to see the miracles of the Lord and the healing of people's lives, starting with salvation, but all other kinds of things that could be, just because it's this, the Lord can do that. The Lord can do that. Turn with me to Psalm 107. Psalm 107 is, again, one of those life-giving, vitamin-producing verses. Verse 18, I'll break into it at that verse. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Yeah, often people do, don't they? They cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Who did that? The Lord. He sent out his word and healed them. Oh, that there would be a really sending out of his word, right? That when that person is under the weather and down and serious stuff, that God would send forth his word and heal them and deliver them from their destruction. And then it says, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Indeed, 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 indeed. I close by this by saying, oh, the privilege and joy of praying for another human who has a condition, a physical condition, a mental condition, an emotional condition, whatever that need would be. Oh, the sheer joy. Listen, I get to preach, and you've put up with that for a lot of years. But I can honestly say that kneeling here or squatting down here with somebody from the church or somebody in the office or somebody over there, it doesn't matter where the location is just as thrilling, if not more. As they say, I'm really scared, or I'm really, this is, and I've often said, let me get a couple more people here. We want to really take this seriously. But in one case, it's a physical need. But not all the needs are physical. For others, it's mental. Just they're really distraught, or maybe they're off their medicine, or, you know, we just don't know. But they've got some issues there, and depression issues. And maybe it's some kind of a other need. It doesn't really matter what it is. The point of it is they've come to you. And what I would suggest you do as we close, begin to pray differently about, first of all, begin to see the church differently. And secondly, to see the small group differently. That this is a place where miracles take place because it's small enough that it's intimate, it's personal. You know, you'll never know. In a church, you don't know who prayed for you, but in their group, you know who it is. And it's very, very good. And so that's important. But so we see the small group differently, but we see your ministry differently. And here's how to say it. Don't just come to church. Ask the Lord on the way to church or before you get in the car, ask him if there's anybody here in this building here today that needs your healing prayers, that needs your touch, that needs your encouragement. Say, Lord, I'm going to church, but I'm not just going to hear the great music. I'm not just going to hear a sermon. I'm going that I might be a part of the building up of the body of Jesus, that I might be part of their health and their wholeness. I mean, is that not sweet? Is that not absolutely wonderful? Imagine how it is then. And say, well, I know what somebody said. You know, we're always afraid of two things. Number one, that nothing will happen, right? You know, I'm going to pray for them, they're going to pass away or something, and they're going to blame me because I didn't have enough faith. So number one, we're always afraid of that nothing will happen. You know what the second fear is? That something will happen. That what if they got really touched, or what if they were slain or something? Well, that's what you got to risk that. What we're saying is, begin to see yourself as a minister, not just as someone who attends, but as a minister. And you'll grow into that. We grow into these things, right? But I know that if you have somebody and you see them and you talk to them and you know there's some need they have and they've shared it with you to say, could I pray with you before we go? Listen, your church stuff here is going to be really different from that point on. Because when you say, you know, God used me to be part of it, not to be all of it, right? Everybody plays a part of it, though, and it could be you. And that would be, and by the way, here's another how this works. You're sitting in church, and for some reason, you keep glancing over at somebody over in row two. You know, row, whatever row it is. And you can't seem to get them out of your mind. You've been thinking about it and say, I wonder who that is. I don't know, but I have a feeling they're not doing so well. And so you just say, Lord, I just pray for them. They seem kind of discouraged. Just pray for them. Flashing arrow prayers. How many know those are powerful prayers, right? Just flashing arrow prayers. Touch them, encourage them. Lord, if you want me to say a word, oh, I don't think you do. They're not going to want me to. Oh, you know all that stuff you go through? They're not going to want me to pray. Who am I? We're going to get the elders. Where's Owen? Let's get the elders together. Get somebody here anyway. No, and God says, no, I, you weren't wrong. You were right. They might have been on the edge of suicidal despair. They might have been on the verge of walking away from a marriage. They might have, you don't know. You just don't know. I mean, we get, what is it, three or 400 people for sure on any given Sunday. On a big Sunday, like an Easter Sunday, there'll be 600 people here in both services. You don't know what they've come with. You have no idea, except the Spirit knows. And it just could be, now that doesn't mean we don't become rude or anything. You just gently, ever so gently said, you know, I don't know you, but I was, you were on my mind this morning in this service. And you make a connection. Now, it may be that they don't want prayer. And it's not going to, but for many, for you sitting here just praying, it might even be somebody you know. So that Richard's looking around and he senses that Rex or Lance or somebody has just said, I wonder if they're discouraged today. I'm just thinking about them. And he goes over and he said, are you doing okay? No, not so okay. Would you like me to pray? Yeah, sure. You know, yeah, sure. Won't hurt. Like a slot machine. That's how people kind of say, yeah, put a quarter in, get $1 million. But nevertheless, they're still willing to do that. And I thought, that's all I need. Just, I would be honored to pray with you. And then you go home saying, that the church was good, the music was good, the preaching was good, the sharing was good, it was all good. But the best part, when I got to be a personal encouragement to somebody else. And you can live on that kind of stuff, right? To say that God used you. Can you imagine if you said, Lord, let the gifts of the Spirit flow through me today? Now we're talking supernatural. Naturally supernatural. It's natural, and yet it's not natural because it can't be it can't be done by humans. It's just something that God can do. And I thought, as we close this, what we'll do is let's just offer some prayers up to Christ. Let's offer some prayers up to Him. And let's ask Him to begin in a greater way to focus on that which is of the Spirit, right? That which is of the gifts of healing. Let's pray for a release of ministry that would be just say, wow, it's just something happening there that we didn't do anything. We just opened ourselves, that the church would be a wholesome wellness center where you could get saved, filled with the Spirit, touched by Christ, right? Just so many things can happen. Your marriage receiving substantial healing, right? Your situation substantially getting healed because the Lord has just been working. So let's stand together. And what I think we're going to do is just have three or four people. Let's just pray over James 5 and over these other verses that the Lord would have I think all He needs is an opening. The Spirit doesn't need any encouragement. He just needs an opening. So we need to make room for this stuff in the church, in the small groups, anywhere and everywhere that God would use you. By the way, don't rule this out. You work with somebody and you're kind of close to them and they seem to like each other and you find out that they've got some, you know, something, you know, whatever it is, Can you imagine saying, listen, I know you don't really know about this kind of stuff or even care about this kind of stuff, but I see you've been in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. Would you mind just on the way out here, would you mind if I just prayed for you? Oh, yeah, thanks. In your church? No, I mean right now. You're going to pray for me right now? Nothing is like this is going to happen the rest of the day for them. Yeah, if it's okay with you. Well, I am in a lot of pain. Well, why don't I pray? Can you imagine if they said, yeah, wow. yeah. Do you anybody know Gordon MacDonald? Gordon MacDonald's a pastor here and just down the road a ways. He's a good man. He's a really, really good man. He told me the funniest story, and it's worthwhile repeating. Although you'll have to forgive me for swearing. He went to England last year. I think it was last year. And he said, while they're in England, they're going to see Nicky Gumbel. Hey, wouldn't we all like to go? We'd like to go and see Nicky Gumbel. We all want to go see Nicky Gumbel. All right. They did. So they get there to the church, and they're speaking on healing, of all things, speaking on healing. And Gordon says to his wife, he said, you know, dear, this is really remarkable. You have such a sore arm for months. She had to lay it on the bed, or on the bedstand like this, just to keep the pain. It must be some kind of nerve thing, right? And she went specialist, and they just couldn't seem to get an end to it. So she was really in a lot of pain and wished it would end. So after the end of the gathering, they said, why don't we get Nicky to pray for you? Yeah, Nicky Gumbel, that would be great. So they're going looking for him. They can't find him. So they get a hold and say, have you seen Nicky Gumbel? And they said, he's here somewhere. I mean, we don't know. I'll find him. They come back and they say, no, there's nothing wrong. Well, go again. Look around. Come back. I'm sorry, I can't find him. I don't know whether he's left. He was here. And he said, the church is packed, right? It's just, there's no, just like you see in the picture, there's just people everywhere. And Gordon's wife says, well, maybe you should pray for me. And this guy says, no, I'm just one of the workers here. I'm just helping set up the program. I'm an architect or something. I forget what he was, but he said, no, I'll get Nicky. So he goes around, comes back, he says, I'm sorry, I just can't find him. And she says, Gordon's wife says, I think you're supposed to pray for me. No, trust me, that's not my area. So no thanks, is it? No, it's you. You are supposed to pray for me. I am? Yes, you. I've never done this before. I don't know, I think you're supposed to pray for me. So he says, well, what the hell? That's what he said. Well, what the hell? Takes her by the hand. He told his wife, Gordon told her the condition. He prayed. Nothing happened. She goes home. Nothing happened. She wakes up the next morning. Everything's happened. The pain's completely gone. And he said to me, to a bunch of us together 2 weeks ago, he said, it's never come back. And there was nobody more surprised than the guy who prayed. So it doesn't give you permission to say that when you're praying, but that's a true story. So why don't we just, let's get three or four people. Just raise your voice one at a time, but raise your voice. I sense him here. Yes. Yes. Lord, we've underestimated the effects of love and intimacy and social support. Thank you, you designed your body to be a place where people could be made well and whole. Thank you. Somebody else. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. If you are new here or visiting here, we have a special gift for you at the back. And if you have any special needs, you want to pick up a free book, actually. That's your main gift. But just to make connection, if you have a card, a connection card, and there's something we can pray with you about or some needs you have or get you involved in a small group, we'd be glad to. Meanwhile, I invite you to come to the patio and come for some coffee. I think it's warmed up a little bit there. So the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Amen. Amen.